to. Off you go.
Let us know. Are we ready?
Yeah, you're ready.
Yeah, we're recording.
We're working, yeah.
So, I'm sat here with Ben.
Hello.
In the back of a van, and we've just been collared by Martin to do a bit of a podcast. And I think quite fortuitously, actually, because for me, communicating message, educating people about what you do, it's far easier to document what you're going to do rather than purposefully and specifically created. If you were to set time aside to think about doing something like this, the planning, the preparation, all that kind of stuff takes far longer than it would do than how you came across Martin and said, I've got a van there, we've got some kit, can I have you for 5, 10, 15 minutes to deliver some words? And that's what I like about this whole digital space. That's what I love, in fact, about this whole digital space. It gives us the freedom to go, shoot, say something, whatever you want, and help spread your message. And that's what I like about the social platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and there's gonna be more. Yeah, the fact that you could actually go out there and be yourself, first of all, maybe hide behind the keyboard to a degree, but make no bones about it, if you get that message right and it starts to work, you're not gonna be behind that keyboard for very long, because the virality of great content, documented content rather than preconceived and created content, is powerful. I love it.
It is, and I think planning, certainly podcasts, there's a tendency to over plan. Mm. And when it's scripted, it's not natural. And the most powerful thing for me personally about a podcast is the fact that it is just a natural conversation. Some of the best stuff that happens, the best tips, the best hints, the best elements of wisdom that ever happen when you're discussing anything with anybody is when it's unscripted. Mm. Because it's absolutely natural. And because it's natural, it's almost, from experience, from history and from your voice, it's not like, well, I've done some research and I think this is maybe the best way to do it. It's actually, well, this, we've done it. Mm. We know this stuff works, and actually what you should be doing is X, Y, Z. Mm.
And it goes beyond storytelling, doesn't it? It's life. It's not. Mm. Sometimes when you think about the word story, again, you think semi-preconceived, maybe. But it's life telling. It's you know, if you've got a van and you're going on a tour, for example, of the country, you can speak to so many different people and, you know, get a really rich life view of how things happen. Because, you know, and I mean this with the greatest respect, I didn't expect this today. You jumped on us and I loved it. I thought, yeah, we're doing that. Regardless, we got an appointment at 9 o'clock, it's 9:20, and I wasn't leaving until we'd done it. You know what I mean? Because I massively respect that you've gone to this great deal of trouble to do it. And I massively, genuinely believe that getting a warts and all real life view of how I'm feeling today is important, rather than saying, next week I would like to discuss this, and then me coming prepped and prepared and to not be me. That is where storytelling falls flat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, by springing it on people, your storytelling becomes rich and involved and probably more interesting than others, perhaps, maybe.
I think that's right. It is interesting because it is warts and all. Yeah. It's honest. There's no like, well, maybe I'll just tell it this way because, you know, I might either offend somebody
or can.
I might. Well, absolutely, you yeah. Can. You've got time to think, yeah, should I say that? Who's listening? Well, maybe mum and dad might listen. I can't say that. But if you're on the spot, there is no choice. You've only got that kind of instant thing that comes to your mind, which makes it more real. And for me, when it's more real, it's more powerful.
And not to say that, you know, preparing for a podcast isn't the right way to do it, because we prepare for many. I mean, we're recording podcasts, gosh, at the minute, every other day, right this morning time. But, you know, I tend to find people are more relaxed rather than shove a camera in the face. See, now go. You're like, oh my, do I look okay? Is my hair all right? You know what I mean? But a podcast is, you can literally be you. And I think people in relationships, people in business, people in day-to-day life buy you. They invest their time, their attention, their money, just in who you are. And I think for me, what you're creating here, I love the idea of. And for me, it ought to be an easy sell.
It should be an easy sell, I agree. But just out of interest, why did you come here today? What was your...
This is also by Ben, really.
I met Mark Harrop at another networking event, and he invited us along to come and share our thoughts and feelings about social, really. It is what we do. And he wanted, well, he asked basically we'd come and present to the group at the Destination Depot. So, of course, I said, yeah, it's our passion, it's our belief that you should do social media yourselves for your business. Nobody can represent you as well as you, but what most people need is somebody to show them how.
Hold them accountable.
Hold them accountable and give them some of the kind of hints and tips that they should be doing, the things they should be doing on social to market the businesses.
Just some of the things that we've learned along the way. You know, 12 years in social is probably too long for most people. You know, most people right now in social have got 2 or 3 years experience. I've gone through every algorithmic change that there is, and I know why they've done it. Not complaining and kicking a fuss because they've done it. I get it. I know why there's been algorithmic shifts. It's been very important. That's why Facebook is as big as it is. That's why Instagram is going the way that it's going. The same with LinkedIn. There are specific reasons and rationale as to why these things happen. They're noisy, busy, busy spaces. And if they're not applied, then unfortunately, they won't survive.
So what do you think? Is Facebook going to survive?
I do. I think it'll be here for a very, very long time, a good 5 years to come.
As it is?
As it is, I don't think it matters. Whether they break it up or whether they separate all the platforms, I don't actually think it matters. I don't think logistically they can separate Facebook and Instagram because they both work together. The back end of the platform actually facilitates
joined up.
It's
always been quite interesting for me. I'll take you off course a little bit here because you're talking about your business, but the idea is about who you are, why you are. Mm-hmm. You know, sat in a van, everybody is a stupid idea. But 10 years ago, it was a stupid idea. And what resonated with me, you were saying you spent 7 years thinking this is a waste of time before it kind of made sense. Now, if you go anywhere in Derbyshire, there's 50% vans. Because everybody gets vans, not the fact that you know what we're doing, but it's just interesting how those. Now that's what intrigues me. So whenever these guys you're meeting up,
it resonates with me massively.
What do you do outside?
I don't do anything but work. 24/7. Seriously, I'm off at 4 a.m. I'm in work at 5, and I get home when I'm done.
You think that's good?
7 days. It's not healthy. No, it's not healthy at all.
So you know it's not healthy. So the idea we talk about habits. How do you change that? If you don't know it's not healthy.
I think the thing to mention is that we are both massively passionate about what we do, and it's the term labour of love springs to mind, but it isn't really. It's not a labour. I don't think. Some days it's hard to do that, but ultimately, because we're so passionate about what we do, that's why we're here. We're here because we are passionate, I'll use the word again, about helping people to understand that they can and should be doing it. Because we're passionate, because we love what we do, that early morning and late finish, right at the minute, doesn't really matter to us.
You're not missing out on anything.
We do. We miss out on family life and stuff like that. Yeah. What I mean? Massively. And it sometimes I get to a point where it's hard, and it's very emotive. Like today, it's my wife's birthday today, of all days. Sent her a quick text. I was out before she left. We had the birthday opening cards, all that kind of stuff last night instead of this morning. But it's just, she gets it. She understands. I feel we're on a mission.
Okay.
When I started 12 years ago, I too bought a van. We would call it the Be More Social Bug. It was a love bug. It was a Beetle van. Cost lots of money.
The original T2.
It was beautiful. I didn't buy it. I bought one of a friend of mine, and we ended up selling it back to his half because he used it for weddings and things like that. But it was going to be called the Social Bug, and we were going to go on tour up and down the country doing just this, not podcasting, although podcasting has been here around longer than social media has, to be honest with you. But educating people on how to use social media, and that was a mission for me then, because I was once told that you're never going to get anywhere in business being nice. You've got to tread on a few toes, you've got to upset people, you've got to stitch people up to get where you need to be in life. And I didn't get mm-hmm. at all. For me, I wanted to be able to deliver a service that was not hippie-esque, understanding the numbers. I mean, our numbers are £97 a month. And if we penetrate just 1% of the 6 million businesses in this country, I'd be very happy, thank you very much. I get the numbers. But we do it in a genuine way that anyone can afford and that holds our customers accountable. To get there, we need to put the effort in. When I get past 3 years of my hardcore effort, me and my family will be good. We'll be set for life, potentially, if I get this right. And that's the mission that I'm on.
That's interesting. Is that a new one? When I was, I mean, you guys are a lot younger than me. Mm. You know, when I started out, it was get a career, spend 40 years in it, and get your pension. Yeah. Now I've gone through all that. You know, I've come out the other side, and that dream doesn't exist in the same sense. You know, it's gone, literally gone. But there's lots more exciting things. The technology excites me, but it's not what drives me. I get excited about different things to keep this idea, you know, just jumping in a van. I'm free to do what I want, but at the same time, that freedom gives me all sorts of other issues, you know, whatever it might be. I love the idea, you know, you've got a very, very focused route. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not that. I tend to sort of kind of be. It's quite interesting when I'm doing these things, because I don't normally talk on these. Mm-hmm. I just get to people. It's how. There's so many varieties. Everybody, when you listen to these podcasts, you will see that it covers every myriad of things, mm-hmm. and lots of things have come out of it.
Yeah.
So, what intrigues me is that you're kind of thinking, you know, I'm not questioning what you're doing,
no.
but what I'm asking you to do is, you know, what else is there out there that makes you tick, or why you're coming here? I'm sat in Sheffield. I've just come back from Zurich.
Yeah.
Which for 4 days was 30 degrees. 6 months before that, it was shit.
Yes.
It was awful. And all the people in Zurich hated it. But we got there magically for 4 days while we were there. It was like summer. And apparently, it's like this again.
Wow.
So, these sort of things, I'm talking about accidents. So,
accidents? Okay.
What makes that happen?
Drive, there's many driving forces. What makes me do what I do. Not about Ben, but speaking for myself. Is that a few years ago, I lost my parents. They both died to cancer. And when I saw them go through what they did, nothing, the pain, all that, it was nothing. They were like, well, okay, fair enough. Then they were told they were gonna die and all that kind of stuff. And they handled it like legends, you know what I mean? So anything that I'm going through now, the pain of success or failure, is nothing in comparison to what I've witnessed. I don't feel that pain because I'm not in that situation. There's always somebody worse off than you are. You know what I mean? So I don't feel it. My driving force comes from wanting to set the standard for maybe everybody else to follow. Not follow, but like in our family, nobody's done much or been much or been anywhere. You know, so I want to try and break free of that. You know, we work for this, that, and the other, and blah, blah, blah. You were talking about, you know, when you were younger, you were working for a pension was your aim and your goal.
Yeah.
You know, mine is I want to be in control of my destiny. If I fail, if I succeed, I've only got myself to thank or blame. That is it. Don't want to blame the government because we don't know who's going to be in power. When I first wanted to buy a house, the interest rate was at 15% and I couldn't afford to buy a house. And then the next day, when I genuinely started looking, Labour got in and the interest rate was at 3.6% and I could afford to buy a house. So I'm thinking, I need to be away from all of this. I need to be in a position where I'm completely, almost self-financed and in control of what happens to me. And by putting that control into somebody else's hands, for me, would be very wrong.
What do you think of that then? You've got that's quite profound.
I totally agree with him. I take inspiration from that, and in a similar way, my parents, thankfully, are still with me, and my dad, who grew up in probably a very similar era to yourself with the same kind of ethic in terms of going to work and what you get out of it, has put himself in a position where for the most part, he is absolutely in control of his own destiny, with the exception of Brexit and the fact that he lives in France. However, beyond that, he is the master of his own destiny. Right now, I'm not. Things happen for a reason, and my journey, which I'll not go into, has resulted in me being here. There's been lots of things surrounding that, and it was almost a happy accident that I ended up here at Be More Social.
That's what I'm getting at, yeah.
I did marketing at university. I took a marketing job, if you like, when I left university, and it was in the oil industry. It was a Doncaster-based company who decided they wanted to move it to Aberdeen, and I didn't want to go to Aberdeen. So from there, I ended up in sales and always tried to find my way back into marketing. The last place I worked before I met Rick, actually when I met Rick, I met him at something similar to this. It was an hour well spent with Doncaster Chamber. And I was so massively inspired by him. Several things happened in the business where I was working before. They decided to close the doors, and that kind of left me thinking, oh crap, what am I going to do? And he was the first call, and it just so happened he was looking for somebody like me at that time, and here I am back into marketing, which I've spent 17 years trying to find the way back into. And I love what we do. I absolutely love it. We are genuinely helping people. Seeing that light bulb moment when they get it, it clicks, and they start getting the results, and they realise actually it's them doing it. Mm. Yeah. We're just guiding them. Yeah, that for me is everything.
I'm going to divert.
You can do it. Yeah.
My parents are still alive.
Okay.
So that's, I haven't been through. Mm-hmm. Which is interesting that you've been through something which I haven't. So you know, we're generations apart. Your dad, what does he think about what you're doing now? What's intriguing? Why is he in France?
he decided.
Were you brought up in France?
No, not at all. We went to France every year when I was a kid because my dad didn't like flying. So we drove every year to France, and he's always felt very comfortable, very at home there, and it was his dream to one day live in France. And 11 or 12 years, I think they've been there now. And I'm so very proud of him. I'm massively proud of my dad. He moved there, learnt to speak French while he was there, had a house built while he was there by everybody was French. He never employed anybody English to do any of the work, so he had to physically learn the language. Yeah. Even there's a dialect called Charentaise, which is a bit like really strong, I suppose from around here, Barnsley, or really strong Newcastle, where it's to other people might be difficult to kind of understand.
So the local regional accent.
That's it, yeah. So a local regional accent. So he even had to try and learn that, and now he's fluent in French and lives the life, and you know, I'm just very, very proud of him. And I think this...
Whereabouts in France is this?
Near Bordeaux.
Oh, it's on the southwest.
So he's kind of... it's about kind of halfway down. He's right in the middle of wine country. So he's about half an hour from it's an hour from Bergerac, about half an hour from Saint-Emilion, about an hour from Bordeaux. It's a little village called Montguyon, which is.
So it's not. You're inland, aren't you?
Yeah.
It's not La
Rochelle. About an hour in from the coast. So La Rochelle, where Royan is.
Yes.
Where we used to go on holiday every year.
Ah, okay.
And right. About an hour from Royan.
Okay.
Inland, almost directly.
So how do you communicate? I mean, do your relationship with? How do you do it? Instagram.
Phone, Skype, generally with Dad,
because
of the kids, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the world is a much smaller space now, and I think had it not been for the technology that's around us, things like Skype, WhatsApp, FaceTime, all these technological advances in communication, I don't know whether they'd been there for 12 years. I don't know if they'd been there for a year. You know, it makes the world a much, much smaller space.
Yeah,
it does.
It's interesting now because my kids are spread all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I spend my life just sort of. We're trying to work out which time zone we're in. And they still don't communicate. So.
No.
But they can.
I talk to them more now. They're in another country than they did when I was at home.
Yes, that's one way. But in a funny way, you know, you don't feel as if you're missing them.
Mm.
That's right.
Quite interesting. So, but again, coming back to this, I find this, what is really intriguing, the generational thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you guys, you say your dad's probably the same age as me. That sort of thing, you know, it's merged.
Mm.
I used to look up to people who were older than me, or when I was first started out, right? You know, 40-year-old was ancient. It's a whole perspective thing. But what is interesting, and now, which I find engaging, is that having spoken to you guys, we've got the platform here as to what it's going to go from. You know, I'm struggling to find out where that direction is or what it might be. But lots of things are coming about.
It needs a thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it needs a thing, like we're talking about in there, find your thing.
Yes.
And it might be a tour, it might be a where you purposely go out and find challenging and testing stories. You read an article and you make it your mission to go and speak to that person that was did an article in the Times or something. Because of technology, these people got really easy to get to. Mm. You know, if they've got an Instagram account, direct message them, reach out to them and say, I've got a van, and you know, have van, will go anywhere with it, and I want to speak to you and share that story and leverage off these other people's stories so that you can get to where you need to be. You know, that's what we use podcasts for, really. It's good and it's pure and it's how it should be, how you're delivering them, but there's nothing to say that you can't purposefully go out there and cherry pick momentary influences from an article that you've read somewhere. Go out there, reach out and have them tell their story so that you can just sort of ride that trending wave for a short period of time. And that would be very powerful and kind of like, I feel, launch you into where you ought to be. Because I love this idea. And like I say, I'm very jealous and envious, because that's where I wanted to be 12 years ago with the bug.
Oh yes, right. Well, so these things kind of come round and about. Mm. I've reached out to people. I'm big into health and well-being. I've always have been.
Yeah.
Part of the original business was getting kids to be active.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, you know, the background. And we failed in many ways to get that into the right place, because schools, for example, didn't take it on as a mandatory.
Mm.
You know, it was secondary. It was voluntary.
Yeah.
And you've got head teachers worrying about their results rather than worrying about their
very
health.
True. Yeah.
And now what do we live with? A lot of fat kids.
Yes.
You know, there's a whole ritual around that. So people have to leave with kind of almost like they burn their fingers and people. But this goes round and round and round.
Mm.
And I find it really intriguing. You know, we're talking about Michael Gove, you know, just this morning. And then you think, well, what's this guy? You know, this guy failed.
Yeah.
You know, he failed us. He failed in lots of things, you know, and yet he's still there.
Yeah.
How does this, you know, does it work? So rather than getting angry, we're saying, okay, if you want to, let's make this work. Have you come across a guy called Syed? Oh, what's his name? Matthew Syed. You're talking about the Times.
Personally.
No, he was. We were into thing about talent isn't everything, and the idea he was a table tennis champion.
Okay,
and we're now a journalist in the Times, which is why I was.
Right. No, no, I'm not. No.
Well, interestingly, he's a kind of an investigative type guy, and he sort of campaigns and stuff.
Yeah.
And we've tried reaching out to him.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting because he's never ever responded.
Okay.
Because he's got his own thing.
Yes.
You know, he's kind of almost keeping it to himself.
Yeah.
And you know, we're putting it out here.
I think that's the thing. Choosing your battles is one. I mean, if you've got like a communicator, a journalist, they get it. They're already leveraging off of stories to get where they need to be, so they know why you're after them. That's part of the.
What do you think? That's a threat, or is it
I think he probably thinks it's a threat. I think you know, if you're, you know, it sounds like a negative thing to say, but if you pander to an ego, they're gonna want to be on a podcast. They're gonna want to be talking about what they do, and in some case, some shape or form, and that's how you use leverage. You pander to what their needs are at that moment in time. So you just have to find another way of speaking to him about finding out his story, maybe not the stories that he talks about. Why does he do what he does? And it'd probably be better for you. I'm sure you've done it that way. But he'll be very, very savvy in terms of using leverage, and he'll probably...
Yeah, I mean, he's selling his books, and you know, that's what it's all about. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all about platform for those guys. But normal people 9 to 5, you'd be surprised. There's some very influential normal people 9 to 5 that would love to be part of anything that you're doing. We are able to get to some quite high profile characters within a niche, and use leverage for all the clients that we work with, and it's very, very easy to do. Very easy to do. And like I say, I love this.
So here's a question. Ben's looking very thoughtful. on the podcast. What makes you laugh? This is about, do you know how long we've been? This always amazes me how long these conversations go on. I originally started off thinking 5 or 6 minutes. We're at 25 minutes at the moment. So you're going to have to go. So we're going to, I mean, we'll have to go in. So. What makes you laugh?
Oh, gosh. Do you know something?
We're very childish.
We are childish.
Are you?
We laugh every day.
Fart jokes.
Every day, yeah.
Go on, you can be...
It might not even be fart jokes, it might just be really stupid things. Like, we'll say something, and it's more kind of off-the-cuff humour as well. Yeah. Like, we'll see something and we'll say something. Or the office will be quiet, for example, and I've got, like, a huge pile of elastic bands by my desk. And if Ben's concentrating and is in deep concentration...
Be an elastic band heads my way.
Seriously, I am really good. And the accuracy that I can get out of elastic band is brilliant.
And I can't throw for toffee.
Nope.
So it really frustrates me as well. if I do launch something back, he catches it, and that really bugs me. Yeah. So it just, we are pretty childish.
I do this, is lob paper into people's coffee cups. You can do that without thinking.
You would hate that.
I would hate that. Because I wouldn't drink my tea then, because I've got an issue with germs.
But the thing about it is, you get it in.
I really
the
find
time.
It amusing putting him off his food.
Yeah. Oh, do you?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's easy
it's
done.
The only thing I can get him back at.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's very easily done. He only has to say something that is
massively inappropriate.
Yeah.
Just as he's about to eat a sandwich.
And I'm done.
Oh, excellent.
So we're childish. That's what makes us laugh.
That's a good working relationship then.
It is. We've got quite a good... people often talk... We've got this thing, what we're doing next month, in theory. We say this every month, but it's only been every month for the past 4 weeks. But we say this on a regular basis. People like the teamwork that there is. There's more of us. We've got people in the office, and there's more people to come. But as a partnership... It goes out really, really well, and people assume that it's like this act or this show that we put on, and it isn't. It's just how we perform in the business 24/7, because you have to do, when you work from 4 a.m. till 9 p.m, you've got to enjoy what you do. And they often call it the Ben and Rick show, but it isn't. It's the Rick and Ben show.
It's the Ben and Rick show.
It's not. It's the Rick and Ben show.
Really. Upsets him.
It doesn't upset me, but you know, I've worked 12 years
for
this.
It's the Rick and Ben show, Ben and Rick show.
12 years. 12 years, and Ben's been here with me for just over a year now, and everybody's assuming it's the Ben and Rick show. And so we are going to turn it into a thing. That becomes our thing, where we're going to have our clients set us various challenges. The first one is we're going to go for a boxing training for a day, and we're going to have a fight.
Something else I'll lose.
What, you're going to fight each other?
Yes.
I really don't.
I bet on Ben.
Well, he does wind me up a lot. There's a lot of built up kind of.
I can see some sort of really focused there.
Like rage in me.
Yeah, I see. This is.
So you're gonna go do boxing?
Boxing, pole dancing, horse racing, and HIIT training. HIIT training.
What's HIIT training?
High impact intensity training.
Oh, yeah, see, yes. Mm. Right, okay. As in gym,
so we've got
also
going to
be an eating challenge, because then that might be something I can win.
Yes. Yeah. We've got to eat 20 hamburgers.
Or in one hit?
In one hit.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, so those kind of like shows.
The fastest time.
So we're going to get somebody to document it for the day and turn it into a 30-minute.
Well, there's a little story we can continue on this. The other thing about this is going to be interesting is revisiting.
Absolutely.
When we go live.
There's leg waxing as well. I forgot to tell you about that one.
That's not fair.
He's got really hairy
legs. I'm very hairy.
Oh, right. That's a great thing about podcasts. You can sit there. Nobody knows what you look like. Yes. Except I'm going to take a photograph. Do you mind if I take
not
a photo?
Not at all.
I'm going to do it because I'll show you the format.
Yes.
So let's just... that's it. Oh, wait a minute. I'm going to do my... thing on thing. I do a lot of time with the photographs. You know, you can get the exposure right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait a minute, come on.
He's an expert.
I am an expert, except it's really dark in here. Then let's just put some lights on.
I love this one. This is ace. This one.
Ah, there we go. Popped a little bit. Right. Okay. Bit of comfort. Sorry, I'm going to take a long time for this because it's
okay. You tell us when you're ready.
Right, I'll tell you when I'm ready.
And we'll get into position.
Yeah. Wait a minute. I've got you all. What's happened here? I'll tell you what's happened. Is the
you're full, aren't you, of data?
No. I've just had a text message that popped in, and I'm gonna stop this.
That'll do it to you every time.
I can't believe what I'm here. There we go. Right now, we're at last. So Ben and Rick, here you go. Go.
See, Ben and Rick, not Rick and Ben.
Did I said that?
You said Ben and Rick.
See, it's a natural thing. He thinks I do it on purpose. It's not. B comes before R in the alphabet. It's just natural.
Yeah.
Well, I think see? You should. Don't worry. It's nothing personal. I'm not trying to steal your shine.
Oops, wait a minute. I better,
can't help right, if you like me better than you.
On that note.
That's the best way to place to end it, isn't it?
It is great.